At this time, we will look for our responsive reading to Lord's Day number 18. Lord's Day number 18, as some of you have been following along, I've been trying to do the harmony of the Reformed confessions. And in the back of the Three Forms booklet, there's pages that look like that. Well, there's a section here with the person, the work, the suffering, the resurrection of Christ, where like for 4 or 5 weeks, it lists the same references to the Belgic Confession. So on the back of that bulletin, really all I had to do was just change the number for the last 2 weeks, and it's been the same reference point in the Belgic Confession. But anyway, let's turn to Lord's Day number 18. There's two questions and answers, 49 and 50, and it has to do with Christ's ascension into heaven. As you know, after His resurrection, He spent 40 days instructing, teaching His apostles, preparing them for His departure. And then on the 40th day, He ascended up into heaven. A cloud received Him out of their sight, and that cloud is the glory cloud, the presence of God. Not just a thunderstorm or something like that. And then from that point, 9 days later, pours out the Holy Spirit upon the church, which we now experience in transformed lives and new hearts, as Jeremiah the prophet in chapter 31 promised, becomes a reality, not just for one or some or on occasions, but it becomes our identity in Christ, where we are new creatures, new creations before the Lord. So Lord's Day 18, question and answers 49 and 50. Well, I'll read the questions, I'll read the answers together. What benefit do we receive from Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that He is our advocate in the presence of His Father in heaven. Second, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that He, as the head, will also take us, His members, up to Himself. Third, that He sends us His Holy Spirit as an earnest by whose power we seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, and not things on the earth. Why is it added, and sits at the right hand of God? Because Christ ascended into heaven for this end, that He might there appear as head of His church, by which the Father governs all things. Indeed. If the accuser of our brethren was who? Well, it was Satan, right? That's what the name Satan means, accuser. He's a prosecutor. If his claim, if his accusation was all sin, guilty, condemnation was his word, in the ascension of Christ, we have our advocate. We have our defense attorney saying, no, I got it covered. I paid the debt. I've set them free. That is part of the joy that we have as being God's children. Bought and paid for, and now being defended, advocated by the Lord Jesus Christ in the throne room of heaven. And it's interesting. You know, as we read there, and sits at the right hand of God. What is someone who is sitting doing? Well, the one who is sitting has completed his work. You know, we sit down at the end of the day. Why? Because our work is finished. We can rest. Well, after Christ's earthly ministry, His suffering, His death from the cross, what did He say? It is finished. He paid the price. So when He ascended to the Father's right hand, after the Holy Spirit was sent as an earnest, He sits at the right hand of God the Father, waiting now for all His enemies, what? For all His enemies to be placed under His feet. He's He's the conqueror. He is the Lord. The Great Commission. We right away think, go and make disciples. Well, before we get to go and make disciples, what does it say? I hope you all know. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, on the basis of my victory, on the basis of my power and authority, now you go, church. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we speak of the work of God through Christ is now being applied by the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And He chooses to use the ministry of the Word to fulfill His purpose in our lives. When you come to church, you're exactly where you're supposed to be if you want the Spirit of God to work in your heart and to transform your life. If you want that work to grow and increase, the ministry of the Word is the means by which we will grow. You know, and in my catechism, kids probably hear me say this more than they care to hear. Whichever part of your nature you feed the most is going to grow the most. You're going to feed your old nature? You're going to give into the cravings of the flesh? Guess what part of you is going to grow stronger? That's right. But if you deny the flesh, take up your cross, follow Christ, feed on His Word, then you will, and by the grace of God, grow stronger in the Spirit, even unto eternal life. And that's really the third thing there, isn't it? And now sends the Spirit as an earnest, by whose power, and this is really a quote from Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, by whose power we seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, and not the things of the earth. And so our Lord has ordained His, you know, part of the way we exercise faith, it's not just an intellectual assent that we agree to something, but our faith is exercised in what we do, in how we live. That's the demonstration of faith. That's what faith, the faith that affects your life, transforms your doings and your don'ts, is the evidence of God's continuing grace and mercy in our lives.